This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to a brand new Arseblog Arsecast right here on arseblog.com. How are you? Hope you're well. It is, as I speak, 20 past 6 on Thursday, transfer deadline day. We were expecting, I don't know what we were expecting in terms of arrivals. It looks like we're only going to get the one. Denis Suarez has arrived on loan from Barcelona. Denis Suarez with his one N. Just the one N in his name, which always makes me think of this. Thankfully, he doesn't have blue eyes. I don't have a crush on him, and I'm definitely not in love with him. But I do hope he can bring something to this team. We are going to discuss Denis Suarez in a little while with James. And also Jim, the man from East Lower, will be along as well. So we're going to talk about transfer deadline day, the makeup, the state of the squad, how ready or how able we are for a Europa League tilt, as well as trying to keep ourselves in the top four, because we are in the top four, ladies and gentlemen. Other than Denis Suarez, though, it has been a pretty quiet deadline day. I mean, quiet in terms of Arsenal action. At the time of recording, and actually a couple of hours ago, I was told that that's it. Suarez is it. There are no more incoming deals. We're waiting to see if Emile Smith-Rowe's loan to disgustingly sweet energy drink Leipzig will go through. Curiously, the transfer window in Germany closed in the evening, and at the time of recording, it still hasn't been announced, even though he is over there. So that's a little bit up in the air. Apart from that, it has been really quiet, unless you've been in my house. My house has not been quiet because of required works to the chimney. Somebody came along a while ago and said, actually, I can't clean this chimney for you because it's all broken up inside and you should get someone to have a look at it. And someone came out and had a look at it and went, how long have you been lighting fires in that? And it was like, well, you know, 10 years. We've been here 10 years. And he was like, holy shit, you're very lucky you didn't get carbon monoxided, because your chimney breast and the chimney stack and everything is cracked, and every time you light a fire, there are gases coming in all over the house, which, as somebody said on the Arses today, could go a long way to explaining some of the crazy dreams I have. Nevertheless, the people have been in, knocking down the chimney and rebuilding the chimney and all that, and they've been here all day, and it was mostly this. Followed by stuff like this. And the alarm you can hear there is next door neighbor's alarm going off because of all the vibration. So it has been noisy, as quiet as it has been on a transfer front here in my office, where I've been since around 6:30 this morning. It's now 6:30 in the evening, and I'll be here until about 11 because, you know, we're doing the transfer deadline day live blog. If you commit to the thing, you've got to follow through with it. You can't just knock off using the fact that Arsenal aren't doing any transfer business as some kind of pathetic excuse. The other thing is that because this work is going on and because it was brought forward a bit, the dogs are still in kennels. I haven't seen them since I got back from New York, and I miss my dogs. I mean, I don't miss them being here when all this work is done, because the entire house is torn asunder with plastic and work stuff and everything, but they're up there and I feel bad. You know, when you put dogs in kennels, some dogs like going to kennels. Some dogs are okay with it. They're like, yep, see you later. It's all good. I know you'll be back. German Shepherds, They're not really like that. They're like, why are you leaving me? Why are you stabbing me in the heart and leaving me? How could you do this to me? Why? What did I do to you? Do you hate me now? What did I ever do to you except love you too much? Except it's not that calm. It's a bit more screechy and like, ah! You know, that's the human equivalent of the dog being led down the path into the kennels. So hopefully all going well.
Archer!
And
Lana! What?
We'll come home tomorrow and get spoiled rotten. Look at this. Look at this as I'm recording. As I'm recording, breaking news. Breaking transfer news involving the Arsenal. Emile Smith-Rowe has signed for disgustingly sweet energy drink Leipzig on loan for the rest of the season. He will wear the number 18 out there for the Bundesliga team. They are fourth in the Bundesliga, so going really well. Hopefully he can play some minutes. I'll talk to the guys, of course, about what they think of this loan. So I'll save that discussion and some insight and analysis of it until we talk to James and Jim now imminently. But there you go. That's it. He joins Reece Nelson in the Bundesliga. It looks like the deal that was maybe going to happen with Eddie Nketiah going to Augsburg didn't happen because we couldn't get Nkunku, we couldn't get Carrasco, we couldn't get Perisic. Therefore, it left us a bit short in terms of attacking options, because if we only had two strikers and one of Lacazette and Aubameyang got injured, it would place a very heavy burden on them for the rest of the season. So we're keeping Nketiah, and who knows how much he's going to be needed between now and May. So there you go. Good luck to Ernie. That's all we can say. Right, let's get on with the meat and drink of this, because it is transfer deadline day. And Arsenal have brought in one player in January, and that's it. It was made clear by Unai Emery that we could only do loan deals, so we are financially restricted, whether it's because of an edict from the owners, whether it's because we're saving our money for the summer, whether it's because, I don't think it's because of wages, because we just added to the wage bill, didn't we? We just added Denis Suarez to the wage bill. So it's not that we can't add new players because we can't afford to pay any new wages, because we've just agreed to pay Denis Suarez's wages. So that's not the issue. And is it enough? Is it going to be enough? We'll have to wait and see. But with me to discuss all that, first up, James. Hello, James.
Hello.
And we have Jim, the man from East Lower. Good evening to you.
Good evening.
It is 20 past 8 on transfer deadline day. We have brought in Denis Suarez, but I want to play you a clip of David Ornstein talking on BBC 5 live radio just a few moments ago. This is what he had to say about the possibility of any more signings in this transfer window.
Meanwhile, over the last week or so, they've been pursuing interest, last couple of weeks, pursuing interest in the Paris Saint-Germain 21-year-old box-to-box midfielder Christopher Nkunku. He had worked under Unai Emery at Paris Saint-Germain, and that was a unified approach from the Arsenal hierarchy. They all wanted him. But unfortunately, despite them still working on that today, it seems that won't come to fruition and that Arsenal's incoming business is done.
Done. Over. Kaput. End of story. That's it. Denis Suarez is it. James, I know you were quite invested in the idea of Christopher Nkunku.
Yeah.
are you disappointed?
No, yes, because I thought he looked like an interesting signing, and the more the merrier on deadline day. But actually, when you break it down, I'm not necessarily convinced he's a player we needed right now. It always felt like he was sort of the alternative to Denis Suarez, and when you look at the other players we were linked with on the final couple of days, people like Perisic, Carrasco, they're quite a different type of player. They're like a proper winger, and that is something that we don't have. Whereas I think Nkunku's sort of another creative midfielder. We've got plenty of those as things stand. So I was a little bit disappointed, but I don't know how much difference it's going to make between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, that's fair enough, Jim. We are looking at a new player who we will discuss now in a few moments' time. But if I had said to you at the start of the transfer window in January that the only business we would do would be to bring in a loan signing from Barcelona and that player would be an attacking midfielder, would you have been happy with that? Are you happy with it now?
I wasn't surprised. I mean, I am not surprised. It's straight out the Wenger playbook, isn't it? It's where do you need to strengthen? Well, we'll go somewhere else. No, not quite. I'm not surprised because we knew about the money thing. We've known about the money thing for a while, however weird that is. So I'm not massively surprised. There doesn't seem to be a huge amount of activity elsewhere. It's always a weird time. So, no, I'm not surprised. But it is nice to have a few an extra option on the wing. So, yeah, well done for getting him in. You know, and also what David Ornstein said, he did say it seems it's not going to happen. Now, come on, that's not very categorical, is it? So let's not get too down in the dumps. You know, you never know. The next hour could just explode.
Yeah, it could do. And if it does, we'll be obviously reacting to that live and on this podcast. But, you know, I think we're probably safe. You know, I'm a little bit confused, not confused, but I'm trying to see what the logic is. And everyone says we need a player on the wings, Jim. We need somebody who can do more in the final third. We need more options in there. But when I look at the Premier League table, I see Liverpool have scored 55 goals. Manchester City, because of the sheer array of talent that they have in their team, have scored 63 goals. But we're next on 50 goals. Both ourselves and Tottenham Hotspur have scored 50 goals. I'm slightly, not in the dark, but trying to figure out why it was we seemed to prioritise a signing in the attacking end of the field when that hasn't really been the biggest issue we've had. And we haven't lost two attacking players to season-ending injuries. We've lost one, Danny Welbeck, but we've lost two defenders to season-ending injuries. Can you see a logic in what it is that they've been doing or the players they've been targeting during this window?
Well, sorry, was that to me?
Yeah.
I don't know. I slightly disagree with you on the having lost, we've obviously lost one attacking player, but I think Bellerin is such, has been such an offensive outlet for us that in some respects he was one of, you know, he was one of the best things about us going forward on the right. So maybe we have lost a bit up there. But that being said, I think, I might be wrong, but I think they were talking about Suarez before Bellerin got injured. So let's not sort of,
yeah, they were.
You know, maybe it's not that. So, but yeah, maybe it allows him to play in a slightly different way, in a way we haven't seen, and change things around a little bit more in the way that maybe Liverpool do with their midfield. They swap around a lot more than we do. But I do, you know, beyond that, I do get where you're coming from in that area where we are having the most problems is at the back. But is that a personnel or is that a structural thing? And we haven't quite got to the bottom of that yet, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, it depends on the game and the performance and who's playing. You know, it could be personnel, it could be structural, it could be, you know, simply that some of the players we have back there need to be replaced because they're not good enough, or, you know, the injuries. And I think we have to take into account the injuries that we've had this season haven't really allowed us to play the same back four for any sustained period of time. And I think that's something that perhaps goes under the radar a bit, James, when we talk about the defence. He has switched between a back three, a back five, and a back four. There hasn't been any real consistency in terms of the personnel he's been able to pick week in, week out. Some of that is down to him, but some of it, of course, is down to injury.
Yeah, it is perplexing, the centre-half issue, because I've just been looking back while you've been talking, and on the 12th of December, Unai Emery said, I think if we can take one player to help us at centre-back, I think it's a good option. Now, bear in mind, that's after the Rob Holding injury, but it's before we lost Socrates for the entirety of February. You know, I am bemused why that went off the table to the extent that it did.
That's a really good point. I'd forgotten all about that, because it feels like for the last 5 or 6 weeks the focus has entirely been on Suarez and Carrasco and getting in a player to play in the final third, whereas he obviously, and I remember now that you said it, he said we need to bring in a player to help us in defence.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing, I mean, he did say immediately afterwards, we're going to wait and see how Mavropanos is improving with his injuries, because he is also a centre-back who can help us.
Okay.
And I really think that's the only kind of logical conclusion here, is that Mavropanos being fit again changed those plans, because they absolutely were talking very publicly about the need for a centre-half. So it's kind of weird that went off the back burner to the extent that it did. I must say, in this whole January window, you know, the Suarez thing and the wanting a midfielder who can play left or right, I do understand it to an extent, because we've only really got Alex Iwobi and Henrik Mkhitaryan, who'd say are kind of comfortable in those positions. But it does feel like we've added someone who and I might be wrong about this, but it's kind of more of what we've already got. I'm not necessarily sure what we're getting that brings a different dimension to the team, you know? Mm.
Perhaps also with the central defender, perhaps also he, when he said that, he wasn't sure how good Koscielny would be when he came back.
That's a good point.
And actually, he's been, I mean, apart from the first couple of games when he looked rusty and it was probably played too much, he's been really fantastic. So perhaps that changed his thinking as well.
Mm. Fair point. Fair point. And I think, you know, if he could play Sokratis and Koscielny together for a sustained period of time, he would do, and would probably feel relatively secure with two very experienced central defenders in there. And I think the team would probably benefit from that as well. It doesn't take away from the fact that defence is a big issue for us. And maybe he has seen something, if we're looking at the positive side of things, maybe he has seen something from Mavropanos that suggests he can be a player who can come in and do a job when required. You know, we just don't know. I mean, we all hope that that's the case. We saw him play a couple of games last season and he looked like a pretty decent young footballer, but he hasn't been tested yet. We'll find out in due course, I'm sure, when a few more of our central defenders get injured. So good luck to him when that happens. But let's come to Denis Suárez. I have to say, my feeling on this is that I'm glad we have brought him in, but it's kind of because I feel like we just needed to bring anybody in to boost the squad. And like James, I'm not sure exactly what he gives us that some of the other players we have in those positions don't, other than, you know, fitness at this moment in time, Mkhitaryan making his way back. You know, he hasn't really played a great deal this season for Barcelona. He's only played 8 games. And, Jim, you know when they talk about players coming from abroad, they need 4 or 5 months, maybe 6 months to settle into English football. Sometimes it's a season that they need to settle into English football. We need Denis Suárez to settle into English football immediately and start producing. I wonder, or worry maybe, that we're asking a little bit too much or expecting a little bit too much from this guy and what he might be able to give us. And I'm going to talk about his stats and everything else in a few moments as well. But, I mean, what are your realistic expectations for this player?
Don't forget that on the plus side, on the bone, he's also got 2 operational legs, which many of our players don't have.
He's very fresh. He's not tired because he hasn't been playing.
Well, no, but in all seriousness, I think... he has, you know, I'm not so sure that the kind of how quickly does it take to adapt to a new type of football. I think that gap might have shrunk a bit just because of the nature of European football now, and everyone's going here and everyone's going there, and I think there are an enormous amount of surprises. But what I think he really brings is he's at a massive crossroads in his career, clearly. You know, I did read somewhere that he'd only really had one half a season where he was superb the whole way through, and maybe it's just he's hungry to actually prove himself. And that was many managers, and Wenger was one of them, used to bring players in who he thought had something to prove, and he certainly got something to prove. Now, like you say, 4 months, it's a no-brainer for Arsenal. If it doesn't work out, he's gone. But it gives him a good platform to show that there's he's only halfway through his career and he's got a lot to give. Now maybe that's something in his favour.
That is certainly a very positive way of looking at it, and I can understand that. I can see that as well. You know, if you look at his career, actually, it's quite interesting. He described, James, the 2014-15 season when he went on loan from Barcelona B to Sevilla, where Unai Emery was the manager, and he played quite a lot that season. So he played 46 games in that season for Sevilla. Didn't play in the Europa League final, though. Next season, he played 48 games for Villarreal. Barcelona then activated the buyback clause that they had on him, brought him back in. He played 36 games in 2016-17, 27 games in 2017-18, and has only played 8 games now. So as his career has progressed, he's played fewer and fewer games. I don't know whether that's a consequence of Barcelona being so brilliant that they don't need Denis Suárez, or Denis Suárez not being quite at the level that Barcelona require. But, you know, it's a trajectory that would be, if you looked at it in those terms and those terms alone, it would be slightly worrying.
Yeah, I think it would be. I think the caveat to offer is, as you suggest, really, just quite how much quality and depth Barcelona have available to them. And maybe, you know, maybe there are some pretty decent players who wouldn't get into their side. I think we can probably assume that he's got a good technical foundation. You know, he's been at Manchester City as a teenager. He's been at Barcelona. He's been playing in La Liga. And apparently that season with Villarreal was probably his best season playing predominantly off the right-hand side. I think there is a huge question mark hanging over him. And in that respect, I mean, kind of to second what Jim said, really, I mean, he comes with something to prove, and he might be this, you know, great talent waiting to break out. He's not had an opportunity. We really don't know, because it's almost impossible to gauge his current level, because he's just not had enough football. Unai Emery has worked with him every day for a full season, and he seems to think he's someone who can come to Arsenal and add something. And I guess, you know, we've got to trust the coach's judgment on that, because this surely, more than any signing that we've had since Arsene Wenger went, really, is an Unai Emery signing. So yeah, it'll be really intriguing to see, you know, how much use he makes of him. And is he someone who, like, you know, like Matteo Guendouzi, does he become a bit of a teacher's pet? You know, someone who's part of the team week in, week out. It'll be really fascinating to see what that sort of dynamic is and how big a role he plays between now and May.
Yeah, I mean, that's the interesting thing. What kind of a role is he going to play? Where exactly is he going to play as well? Because I suppose people have this idea that he will play as a winger of some kind. It might be a case that he comes in and plays on the right-hand side with Iwobi on the left, and just one of our strikers plays. I think that might be...
That's what I think will happen.
That's kind of what I think will happen too, because we're placing a heavy burden on Aubameyang and Lacazette, and we need someone to take that burden away from them. But, you know, just in terms, to give you an idea of what he produces, 2014-15, 6 goals and 5 assists. 2015-16, which was his standout season at Villarreal, 5 goals and 12 assists. 16-17 was 3 goals and 5 assists. 17-18, 3 goals, 5 assists. 2018-19, he's scored a couple of goals and he's got 1 assist. So, you know, this idea that he's going to come in and be the sort of player who's going to start banging in goals doesn't really ring true from what we've seen from him so far. But perhaps what his benefit might be is to enable us to, Jim, keep strikers fresh. Lacazette and Aubameyang, I don't think they can play 90 minutes of every game between now and the end of the season, so we do need somebody who can at least give them the break, as well as giving us an option from the bench as and when we need it.
Yeah, that's true. And that's, but ultimately, also, what do we paying, like £2 million for this loan? I mean, and it's, you know, how do you measure a success off the back of an investment of like £2 million? It doesn't take much for it to be worth doing, does it? So in that respect, it's absolutely, there's no danger of it being anything other than a good punt. Maybe, you know, if he scored 1, 2, 3 goals and they were important in certain games, then you'd say, well, it's worth every penny. But you're right. It gives us a few more options. It allows us to rest one of those strikers. I mean, good luck telling them which one it's going to be, because they're both hungry as hell to play and score. So, but it does give you that option that Welbeck had before and we don't have. And yeah, it's a punt that's completely worth taking.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with it in that respect. You know, it is absolutely a risk worth taking. It's not costing us much. And I think credit to the club for holding their nerve and, you know, agreeing to a deal where they don't have a compulsory purchase at the end of it. I think that's absolutely the smart thing to do. And I'm glad that they stuck by that. In terms of like his numbers, you know, 12 assists is actually pretty decent from a season. You know, we're at the halfway point in our season or beyond it. And our highest assist is Aaron Ramsey with 6. So to finish the season with 12 is actually pretty impressive. But I think he's not even necessarily a guy who you're looking at to give the final ball, and certainly not to be a goal scorer. I think the job he's going to do is very similar to the one Alex Iwobi does. You know, he's going to be one of these guys who drifts in probably from the right-hand side and looks to play in an overlapping fullback. I mean, the real shame is we haven't really got the overlapping fullback who made that right side work in the early part of the season. But I think, yeah, look, it was absolutely a gamble worth taking. And the ball's in his court now. You know, he's got an opportunity to earn a permanent move because there's no point in him going back to Barcelona. I don't think they've got any intention of keeping him in the long term. And no. Arsenal would be a really good club for him. So let's hope he can seize it. And he starts at his former club, of course, on Sunday.
Yeah, we can come to the Man City game in a few minutes' time. I'll stick with you, James, so just because... You talk about the opportunity he has here at Arsenal, yeah. And you know, if he does well, I'm still not convinced that he's a player we will spend money on. Otherwise, we might have gone with a different option when it comes to the end of the deal. But it is an opportunity to put himself in the shop window. He only had a year left on his contract with Barcelona. He signed an extension, which of course gives them a bit more resale value in the summer. I think his time there is done and dusted. You can see the way he's been used this season that's the case. It is a chance for him to show that there's more to him than maybe the last couple of seasons have suggested, and more about what he did at Villarreal and did during that season in Sevilla.
Yeah, and I think if circumstances were different, you know, maybe Arsenal would have made a permanent bid for him this January. But it's very, very clear that, you know, there was a decision taken that Arsenal were not going to indulge in paying a permanent fee for anyone this month. And to the extent where, I mean, David Ornstein was reporting on the BBC that as part of the loan bid for Perisic, they were prepared to put in a clause whereby there was a penalty fee if they didn't make it permanent in the summer. So
that
they
was
obviously feel
weird, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's, I've never encountered a clause quite like that before. In fact, you know, where you see that is in like television, you know, when people take on a pilot of something, they put a penalty clause in if they don't take it to series sometimes, things like that. But I've never heard about it in a football context. But that to me says the club very clearly feel they're going to have money available in the summer that isn't available now. And quite precisely why they've taken that strategic decision, I actually, despite all the reading I've done, despite everyone I've spoken to, I'm not absolutely clear. But it's clearly a decision that's been taken, and that's partly why we've ended up where we are.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Jim, are you surprised that there hasn't been a bit more investment in the squad in January, that Unai Emery has been restricted to loan deals? He's been given a very difficult job, which is to get a team which has been on a downward trajectory, it's fair to say, in terms of the league position and points and everything else for the last couple of seasons, to get that team back, not just leveled off, but upwards again and into the top four to qualify for the Champions League. I know we have the opportunity to qualify via the Europa League, and he's something of a specialist in that as well. But, you know, given it was his first window in his first season, and there's a very obvious need for some investment and kind of the sort of investment that might make people sit up and go, yes, people are, you know, the club are really behind Unai Emery. They really believe in him. They're really giving him everything they can give him to help him achieve what they want him to achieve. Have you been surprised by, or were you surprised by the fact that funds were so limited in January?
A little surprised, but almost, I'm also not massively, there hasn't been a lot of money splashed elsewhere, not a huge amount. And so it's the time of year where it doesn't tend to happen anyway. What slightly surprises me is that Arsenal clearly desperate to get back in the Champions League, and in order to do that, you have to take a few risks. But so they're obviously, I don't know. It'd be lovely to be interesting to be a fly on the wall, because are they taking this as the season where he starts getting things in place and they're fine with it, and then there's a chance we can get to top four. I'd say it's a bit long, and there's a chance we could win the Europa League, but similarly, it's a long way to go. It's still 32 teams left there, and so you think maybe they think that the best chance is by properly strengthening in the summer and not taking too many pot shots now. And then, perhaps with the understanding that this year we might fall slightly short. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because if they were desperate, like beyond desperate, they have said a few times, we've been hit by the lack of Champions League money.
Yeah.
It's being made quite clear. But if they were absolutely desperate for that and they thought, looking at our form now, you can't say with any certainty that we're going to shoot off on a run that's going to catapult us into the top four and keep us there. So, maybe they're being a bit realistic behind the scenes that actually it's too much to ask after 22 years. For it to happen in the first season.
Well, let me just stick with you and let me just put something to you in terms of the joined up thinking that we all hoped was going on behind the scenes when Unai Emery was appointed by Ivan Gazidis and Raul Senyehi was brought in to be the head of football relations, as it was, and later head of football, Sven Mislintat, brought in to head up our recruitment. And we all thought, great, this is the way forward. We've got a modern structure in place. We've got a recruitment guy who will identify the talent. We've got the head of football guy who will schmooze and get the deals done and do the handshakes and everything else. And Ivan Gazidis, now that he has got, the power, considering Arsene Wenger is gone, he'll make sure the deals happen, that he's got the backing from the board for these guys to do their job as well as they can. Gazidis is gone and Mislintat, whatever way you want to believe that's gone behind the scenes, I say you, he's on his way out. I mean, does it feel to you, or do you feel like it's possible that what's gone on behind the scenes, the best laid plans of mice and men and all that, weren't quite as well laid as we would have liked, and therefore, in order to sort of consolidate, they need to put new plans in place, new people in place, new head of recruitment, all that kind of stuff, before they go down the road of buying new players?
Well, it would make sense, wouldn't it? And they've got to take that into account, that there was never, perhaps it was always a bit too much to ask a huge, not only a new manager or head coach, but also a whole new structure, for it to suddenly click and work like that, and then for us to shoot straight up to the top four. Maybe that was always a little bit too ambitious, and I think the movements behind the scene, whatever the reasons behind them, probably make it more so. So yeah, perhaps a twinge of realism has entered the scene. I think that let's bed these things down a bit more, see what happens after Mislintat's gone and who else might or might not come in. And then in the summer we know a bit more what's going to go on. I also wonder, and God knows I don't want to talk about politics because football's way more fun, but I don't know, and no one's really mentioned the fact that there could be a bit of upheaval financially in March in the UK. Perhaps people are just holding back a little bit like they are in other areas and just waiting to see what happens there.
Could be. I mean, there haven't been any big deals across the Premier League, really. None of the big six have brought in players. I know Chelsea brought in Higuain, of course, on loan, but there hasn't been a great deal of spending, James.
No, I mean, deadline day, I just went on the BBC website and the image they're using on the front page has got Marouane Fellaini and Gary Cahill on it. It's not the most glamorous deadline day we've ever had. Probably the biggest signings look like they're going to be, Newcastle have broken their transfer record, signed a player from the MLS, and Leicester are getting Tielemann on loan from Monaco. But it's not been the whole window, there's not been a huge amount of spending. I actually mentioned that in a tweet about Brexit, and a few people said to me they think football, the wealth is so great that it'll be insulated from an issue like that. But it wouldn't surprise me if there was a bit of caution at an executive level. I also wonder if it's natural that, You know, now Seigneur, he is kind of the kingpin at Arsenal. There's a measure of accountability on him in terms of what we do on the recruitment front. And I just wonder if he looks at the January market, looks at the January window. We know from his interviews he's got a bit of a distaste for it and thinks, if I'm going to shape the squad, you know, if I'm going to play my part in that and it's going to be on me, the success of it, I would rather get to the summer, kind of keep my powder dry and do it then. The risk of that, of course, is what it means for the remainder of this season. And I actually think that, you know, if I think of previous transfer deadline days with Arsenal fans and, you know, not bringing in defenders or not bringing in holding midfielders or the players that we necessarily wanted, you know, there have been pitchforks and all sorts. And actually, people are quite measured. People are quite calm, I think. I don't know if it's the fact that we've been bumped into fourth by Chelsea's result at Bournemouth, but I think it's because people are actually prepared to say, well, we can only really judge our decision not to invest at this point at the end of the summer transfer window. And I do think that, you know, if we get to the summer and we don't do the kind of business that we're all hoping we do, then I think we'll feel like, well, this was an opportunity missed, because essentially what we're saying here is it's all on the summer and there is an awful lot of work to do once again.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I do think the summer is when we can really make a judgment on what's going on and how well things are being run behind the scenes. But, you know, if you're putting Champions League qualification as one of the criteria for a manager to achieve, not giving him any backing in the January window is... it makes his job and everyone's job a bit more difficult. But do you feel as well, I mean, what's your thoughts on, just quickly, on what's gone on behind the scenes with Mislintat going, that if it's a case that relations with Sven have broken down, it could be a case that Sven had a number of players lined up for January who might well have, picked and he would have identified as players who could come in and do a job. But if they've had that breakdown in relationship, which clearly is the case, then those targets... have fallen by the wayside.
Well, 29-year-old Shinji Kagawa was available on loan from Dortmund and we weren't interested. So I think we know Sven's, you know, no longer part of proceedings. I'm sure that had some sort of influence. I mean, you would like to think that targets were identified pre-January, but when you watch the way the window plays out and how much business seems to be done close to the line, you do have to wonder about that. And maybe... you know, they're talking probably to a new potential technical director. They're talking to someone for Sven's job. You know, maybe it's going to be Francis Kagagao, but some sort of chief scout, head of recruitment. And again, maybe they're thinking, if these people are going to come in, we need to give them the opportunity to do their work in the summer. I do worry about what that means for our chances of making the top four, because a couple of signings, you know, maybe a right back and a centre half would probably have done us in good stead. But that's not the path that we've chosen. So it's on Unai now. And I think in the past, you know, sometimes you felt like you got through a transfer window and there was frustration with the manager, with Arsene Wenger maybe, who you thought was a bit intransigent or a bit unwilling to spend. I don't get the impression that that's how Unai Emery felt about things this January.
Or how people felt about Unai Emery, do you mean?
Well, what I mean is I don't think it was him saying, no, let's not buy players. That, you know, I think if it was up to him, he would have had new signings in. And he talked very openly about wanting new players. It was actually in the window, wasn't it? During the window, when he was like, actually, we can only loan them. And it didn't feel like that was his idea. So, I do have a bit of sympathy with him. And he's now got to, you know, make what he can of the squad that he's got, which, you know, it is good enough to make the top four, but there's going to be intense competition.
Okay, that's interesting. Because he did say, the club tell me it will be different during the summer. You know, there was, you know, a little bit of separation between him and the club in that statement, you know, which...
I think that's inevitable in this new setup that we have. You know, ultimately, I think he probably knocks on someone's door and says, hello, I'd like a winger, please. And they kind of say, well, we'll get back to you. Whereas it always felt previously like our manager kind of held the purse strings to an extent. And I know there's debate about that, but that's how it looks.
Yeah, of course, and made the decisions. Jim, coming back to you, just going to something James said there, and I'm curious to your thoughts on this. He said the squad is good enough to get into the top four. Would you agree?
that was a categorical wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was.
I'm not quite sure it is, to be honest. I think it is if other teams don't perform to how they can perform. But I think I feel like we're not really consistent enough at the moment to do that. And we don't, I don't know. I think we've got, it's a very tall order in my book. I think we've got lots of room for improvement. I don't think it's massively, there's been a massive upward curve in terms of our performances. We've had some really good ones and some shockers, and it's a little bit fractured still, which I'm not hugely surprised by. Again, it's a whole rebuild job. So I think my gut feeling would be we'll fall slightly short on that one.
Mm. I have to say, I think we need a good chunk of luck along the way. You know, we need things to go our way. We need to be able to win games when we play as badly as we did against Cardiff. And to you could say it's been a hallmark of the season in a way, is to play not particularly well and still win games, as we did during that 22-game run. I'm just not sure how long you can get away with it. We didn't get away with it for a period, if you remember, when we lost to Southampton and drew at Brighton and lost to West Ham, etc., etc. You know, I think what's happening at Chelsea is obviously a benefit to us. I wonder how long the Solskjaer bump can happen or can continue at Manchester United. But I do think if we are going to get into the top four, we need... It's like setting off in your car and driving down the road and every set of traffic lights turns green just as you get to them. It feels like we need that kind of a run because, you know, we sit here and we can talk about the logic of doing business in the summer and why we're doing business in the summer and, you know, the backroom machinations that might be the reason for that. And we can step back and look at that. But the reality, when you look at the squad, is that it's a squad that has issues. It's a squad that needs players. It needs better defenders. It has defensive issues, which the manager, the head coach, doesn't appear to be able to sort out, and we've spoken about how unfortunate he's been in terms of the injuries and stuff like that. But I think one of the things I would like to see, James, in the last part of this season, we're in February now, so we've February, March, April, basically 3 months and a bit, you know, where we'll be able to make our mark and see if we're going to finish in the top four, is more of a willingness on Emery's part to kind of go for it. And I don't mean just do what Wenger did and send his team out and say, you're great, I love you, you're brilliant footballers. Just go out and enjoy yourselves and play your expressive attacking football. It will all come together. That's not quite what I mean. But I think when you look back to the game on Tuesday night against Cardiff, again, it felt really conservative to me, the approach, perhaps with Manchester City in mind. I give that as a caveat. Nevertheless, it's Cardiff in the relegation zone at home, and we didn't have a shot on target until Aubameyang scored a penalty. And I think a lot of that was down to the team selection and how we approached the game. Do you, A, feel like that's something he needs to address? And B, will the signing of Denis Suarez, the imminent return of Henrik Mkhitaryan from injury as well, having more options in the attacking end of the pitch, make him a bit more... tell me the word, because I've forgotten. It's a long day. I've been here since...
Adventurous, maybe.
Adventurous. That's it.
it might do. I mean, Clive from the Arsenal Vision podcast put together a nice thread on Twitter that's worth seeking out, in which he spoke about the fact that the squad... Because I think this is a squad that we've got plenty of numbers, but we've got issues with balance and we've got issues with quality. And one of the issues is that we have... two great finishers in Lacazette and Aubameyang, two players you want on the end of stuff. And then you've got a bunch of players like Xhaka, Torreira, Guendouzi, who really are at their best kind of operating from the base of midfield. And what we don't have, or haven't had really, is guys linking that up. There's been a huge onus on Alex Iwobi to kind of do that job. And I think that's partly what's led to some of the criticism of him, because, you know, we've been so reliant on him. And I think partly the reason we're in that situation, by the way, is that the player most obviously we have to do that kind of job is Mesut Ozil, and Emery, for whatever reason, doesn't want to use him. But having Mkhitaryan back, having Denis Suarez, you would like to think, bring some more technical quality, some more players who can actually link the play in those spaces between midfield and attack, and get us back to, you know, not quite the old Arsenal, but at least some slick football. Because... You know, it's easy to forget now, but in the early part of the season, we scored some lovely goals, you know, breaking out from the back. There was all this talk about Emery Ball, these flowing moves, and that has gone.
Emery Ball.
We haven't been doing that for a long time, have we?
Emery Ball. Ah, fuck. If you were to ask somebody now, what is Emery Ball?
Well, that's it.
What is it?
It's impossible to say. And actually, when you say you want Emery to be more adventurous, I mean, as a fan, as someone who has to watch the games, I sort of agree with you. What I want from Emery is some sort of conviction or commitment to a way of playing. Because if it's going to work or it's going to not work, I would rather it happened on his terms. Like, I think we need to see who this coach is that we've hired and what their vision for the team is, because it's not clear at the moment. And even if that does mean benching someone who we consider a favourite, or it does mean playing a formation that people aren't necessarily content with, I think he has to stamp his identity onto the team at this point in what's left of the season, and show us where we're going. Where are we going next season? What is the way we're going to play with these players who we're going to bring in the summer? I understand the need for short-term results, but I think at this point he also needs to sort of put some sort of groundwork in place so we've got something to build on moving forward. Because at the moment, as Jim alluded to, we're slightly sort of bumbling along, and I just think a sense of direction would be the most positive thing.
Jim, your thoughts? What's your feeling on what Emery Ball is and what you might like Emery Ball to be?
No, Emery Ball sounds like something you file off Dead Skin with, doesn't it? But Emery Ball, I think we saw a bit of it earlier in the season, on and off. There's a high press, there's playing from the back. We're still seeing that now. It's a hard work, which I think you can't ever. We've done a few things wrong this season, but we have worked pretty hard, I think. So that's changed. I would say that the transition, like James said, the transition from, I think he's been so desperate to try and fix the defence, and it hasn't really come to that, that he hasn't been able, that whole sort of transition between defence, midfield and attack, I think it needs a bit more work. And yeah, so I don't, I like you, I'd love to see it, but I expected a bit more pace, to be honest, and a bit more counter-attacking type style, but I haven't really seen an awful lot of that. But again, you know, like you said, like we've said that, you know, many times, that he's had to change defensive position so many times, and then you have a false dawn, you have a really good defensive performance, and then an absolute shocker, and I think that's kind of preoccupying him quite a lot. So until you fix that, and it's the whole same with the top four, until you know, if you suddenly had two or three games where the defence was settled and looked like they were, you know, holding it together pretty well, then maybe from there you start building and you think, yeah, maybe we could push on. But it's a bit too game to game at the back, and I think that probably affects the rest of what's going on ahead of him.
Sure, but when we talk about it being game to game at the back, would it not be easier for defenders to cope if there was a consistent system throughout the team?
Yeah, but
so, you know, I know what he's doing, and I know he's looking at certain opposition, and, you know, for the most part, it has worked. But, I wonder if perhaps the players shuffling around from one formation to another, whether it's, you know, 4-2-3-1 or whatever it might be, you know, to a back five and all that kind of stuff from game to game, I just wonder if it might make their job a bit more difficult as well. Whereas if you have a consistent system, you can cope better with injuries because the players coming in know exactly what it is they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I agree. I think the more stable it is in that respect, probably the better. But that being said, it shouldn't be beyond the wit of a professional footballer to be trained in a different system and to be able to go out and do it. I mean, they're not being asked to play so violently out of position that they're completely lost. They're still playing their roles, just in a slightly different way.
So apart from Xhaka.
I think it shouldn't be that hard to change around. I think, you know, a good team should be able to, in the heat of the moment, change positions and change structures. They should be good enough to do that.
Okay. We are playing Manchester City on Sunday. James, I know we've spoken a little bit on the Arsecast Extra and also offline about how daunting this game is. For this Arsenal side. He brought Mesut Ozil back and made him captain against Cardiff on Tuesday night. Do you expect Mesut Ozil to start on Sunday?
No, actually. I don't. I wouldn't thought so. I mean, it doesn't feel like the sort of game where Emery would be willing to use him. Cardiff at home, you know, absolutely. I think Manchester City away, I can't see that happening. I imagine he'll go for someone like Aaron Ramsey and probably Alex Iwobi and in that kind of position. No, I don't think he'll play.
Jim?
No.
No, I don't.
No,
think
I don't think he'll play. I don't think he'll play. I think Ramsey was, you know, was probably being slightly kept back for that game. Yeah. And I don't think he. I mean, to be honest, the one thing I will. I was there at the game on Tuesday, and it was bitterly cold. It was horrible, and you know, really grim conditions to play football. I don't think that helped at all. But I still don't think Ozil particularly did. And yeah, it didn't quite do enough to think, actually, yeah, maybe you will. Mm. Maybe you're in good form to start that game. You know, I'm not saying he was any worse or than anybody else, because I don't think he was. But
yeah.
I don't think he gave us anything that you suddenly thought, actually, he's back.
Yeah, it shouldn't be beyond the wit of a professional footballer to play in the cold, though, Jim. Right?
No, it doesn't help, though, does it? And it's just as it doesn't help the fans who can't be bothered to turn up or leave early like I did. You know, yeah, hands up.
Okay. But, all right. It was very cold, though. Very, very, very
cold. Freezing cold.
It was freezing.
Okay. Go on. Have you something there, James?
No, not really. I mean,
Well, I was going to ask you a question. If you don't have anything, I've got a question.
I don't have anything to say, so ask me something.
All right, you just sounded like you wanted to interrupt there for a second, so I said, okay, I'll see what he goes with. I'm going to make this the final question, because I think this is probably one of the things that is going to be on Unai Emery's mind, given the situation we had on Tuesday night, and it's an hour into the game, and it's 0-0, and we haven't had a shot on target. And the change that Unai Emery made was to bring on Carl Jenkinson for Stefan Lichtsteiner. Mm. Ainsley Maitland-Niles is suffering a bruised knee, so we don't know if he's going to be able to make it or not. And Jenkinson was quite interesting afterwards. He talked about how his job was to push Cardiff back and to make space on the right-hand side, even if he didn't get the ball. They were looking to use his energy and his, you know, his stamina, and he, you know, that's something that you know you'll get from Carl Jenkinson. He's going to run all day. So, bearing in mind the opposition, who do you play at right back?
Hey. Do you know what? It's really tough because you're up against Leroy Sané, who really is, I think, one of the most frightening players for a right back to be up against in the Premier League. And you've got the choice, haven't you, of the Jenkinson, who's certainly the quicker than Lichtsteiner, but maybe the little bit less defensively cute. I think I would just go for Lichtsteiner. Just because I don't think it's going to be our priority in that game to get our fullbacks up into the final third. And maybe that's slightly negative thinking, bit of Emery thinking from me, but I feel like it's going to be a... If I'm honest with you, actually, what I'd probably do is play three centre halves and then play Jenkinson as a wing back. That's what I would do.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's what I would do.
So Monreal, Koscielny and Mustafi.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I'd have Jenkinson as a wing back and Kolasinac on the other side. And that way, you know, maybe they have a bit more license to break forward. So, yeah, that's what I would do. I don't fancy either of them against Sané, really, in a four. But
If it was a back four, I think Sané
both
would...
Both of them.
Yeah, both of them. Yeah, just put like a sack race. We just put them in the one sack. You know, I think I would fancy Jenkinson against Sané more than Lichtsteiner against Sané. In a back four.
I can see why.
I mean, just physically more able to get to him, and I just don't know.
Well, Mustafi at right back.
We don't have any centre halves though. Well, Monreal and Koscielny. But then you're basically playing Koscielny out of position because he plays as the left sided centre back. So I have a feeling that James is right. I think he'll go with a back three. I think he will. He'll go with the back three of Monreal, Koscielny and Mustafi. And if that's the case, I think probably Jenkinson is the option at wing-back, even though Lichtsteiner's played there quite a lot. I mean, Bellerin's injury has really left us in a terrible hole.
Yeah, and Maitland-Niles picking up this knock doesn't help either. I know he's not the finished article, but You know, he might at least win a foot race with Sarno.
That's true. Jim, any further thoughts on this one and just in general about Man City? What do you think about the game?
I feel like the Jenkinson ship has sailed, to be honest. I think
the good HMS ship, Jenkinson.
I think HMS Jenkinson's left port. I think, you know, he hasn't played for a reason, probably. So I think at a big game like this, I don't think he'll risk him. He'd be more inclined to play Lichtstein. Man City, what do I think? Do you know, I'm not quite as negative about it as I would otherwise have been, purely because, I mean, I wouldn't say they're stuttering, because that's a bit far from the truth, but they didn't perform particularly well against Newcastle in the week, and,
Does that not make you more worried, though? Because they're, you know, Pep's going to be going, guys, come on, we have to respond, guys.
Well, we've been all right. I mean, okay, we got absolutely murdered at Liverpool, and that was a horrendous result and performance. And you know, let's not invoke that kind of performance. But we played pretty well away at Man U, and we've done quite well against the big sides generally. I don't know. I think I'm not saying we'll come out of it with anything, but perhaps it's not quite as cut and dry as you think. And obviously, you've got Denis Suarez.
Of course.
Can he play? Yeah.
He can play against his former club, because he played for... I don't think he ever played for Man City, did he?
I think he did in the League Cup, but not in the Premier League.
Right. Who's his Arsenal equivalent then? Someone who's only ever played in the League Cup? Connor Henderson, someone like that.
Yes, absolutely.
There you go. We've got the Spanish Connor Henderson. How could things go wrong?
Patrick for Dennis.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to leave it there. Thanks very much for your time, James. We'll chat on Monday for the Arsecast Extra.
Indeed, bye-bye.
Jim, thank you very much indeed, as always.
No problem. Cheers, guys.
I realised after I'd finished the conversation with James and with Jim that I forgot to ask them about Emil Smith Rowe and his move to a disgustingly sweet energy drink Leipzig. So I might as well give you a couple of thoughts of my own, because I can't get them back at this point. I think it's a good move for him, because he can go play some regular football, hopefully go play in a different league. There's a lot you can learn both as a player and a person from playing football in a different country as well. So that will stand him in good stead. But, you know, I look at this summer and I look at where we need to spend money, and as per our discussion that you've just listened to, the defense has to be a priority. Has to be. And if we're going to spend a lot of money this summer, I would like it to be to bolster that part of our team. Which, if we know Arsenal and if we know Stan Kroenke, means that we're probably going to have to find creative solutions for other areas of the team. So we could be looking at a situation, well, we're definitely looking at a situation where Aaron Ramsey is going. He's going to leave. He's going to sign for Juventus on a free. Danny Welbeck is going, because we haven't offered him a new contract. And it's not beyond the realms of possibility that Mesut Ozil could be on his way out as well. Those are three very big players for any football club to lose. And if anyone expects Arsenal to go out and spend big to replace those players, I think they'll be disappointed, because I can't see it. I just can't see us going out and buying players of similar stature or reputation. So one way of offsetting their departures would be to bring through young players with lots of talent, lots of energy, lots of potential, lots of hunger and desire to do well. And if Reece Nelson and Emil Smith Rowe return from the Bundesliga this summer with good performances, having enhanced their own reputations and having developed as footballers and as young men, then I think they might be players that the club are looking at as potential replacements. I'm not saying they're going to just completely fill the shoes of the guys who've left or anything like that. But I think the club possibly are looking at them and saying, if they can do it in the Bundesliga, then that saves us a hell of a lot of money, which we could spend elsewhere. I mean, I have to believe we'll buy some players in the summer transfer window, not just defenders, But it's just a feeling I have based on the resources available to us that maybe they're looking at these guys as potential first-team players for next season. And that's why the loan deals are important. And it would be great, wouldn't it, if these guys could come back and really stake a claim for regular first-team football at Arsenal, because it's great when academy players come through and there's something special about that. It's a lot to ask of them, though. It is a lot to ask. So it's going to be very interesting to see how Rhys Nelson does between now and the end of the season. He started his loan spell, of course, very, very well, but since then hasn't really hit the heights. Smith Rowe is probably, to my mind anyway, is the best prospect out of the young players that we've got coming through at this moment in time. The ones on the fringes of the first team. I know there are some a little bit below that, but, you know, in terms of what he's done this season for Arsenal, I mean, he's scored 3 goals. And if he can produce for Leipzig, then fantastic. It's not quite sink or swim for him or anything like that. He's still very young, but if he does really well out there, I think it might just solidify the opinion some people have about him and where he might be in the squad next season. So we'll wait and see what happens there. The Manchester City game on Sunday, it is going to be very, very, very difficult because I think City, off the back of a defeat, are really going to step it up. We had difficulties at Liverpool. I would hope it doesn't go anything like that. Our record in the big games generally this season has been okay. We did well against City, well enough, I think, against City at home on the first day of the season. It was 2-0. But we did well against Liverpool at home as well, and we know how that one went. It's one of those games where I don't think we can afford to take another pounding. If we can get anything from this game, a draw, it's a bonus. It's a bonus for us. And let's hope we can do exactly that. If Emery can produce a tactical masterclass, maybe we can get something from this game. You just don't know. Just don't know with this team. I can't say I'm particularly hopeful or optimistic, but life can surprise you and football can definitely surprise you. As I said, James and I will be here on Monday to discuss exactly what happens at the Etihad Stadium. I hope it's good from an Arsenal point of view as well. Have yourselves a great weekend. Transfer deadline, it's 21 minutes past 9 now. Still haven't signed any more players. Bit of a surprise, that, yeah? Oh, well. Talk to you on Monday for the Arscast Extra. Have yourselves a great weekend. Hopefully Arsenal can make it a brilliant weekend. So until the next one, cheers. Bye-bye.
Mesut, good evening to you. I have good news for you. Let me explain. We have very big offer from excellent club. Want to take a loan for you. Is PSG.
What is PSG? I have not heard of this club.
PSG.
Still, I don't understand. What is this club?
Have a very great player like Neymar, Cavani.
I don't think I've heard of any of them players.
Who there? PSG. Have Mbappé. Have Mbappé. Mbappé. PSG.
Sorry, coach. I just don't know what you're saying to me.
Oh, is el club I have before Arsenal.
Oh, PSG.
Is what I say. PSG.
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 P. Pesach.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.